graphic nature of this program, listener discretion is advised.
See? You're what's wrong with this country. Hell, with this world, you're always thinking about your own comfort level, never thinking about the rest of us. This country was built on sacrifice, and nearly 30 years of living a life full of selfish foot pampering and intergender intercourse has made you too soft to throw your hat over the wall for the good of mankind. And what's worse is, not only do you ruin it for the rest of us with the flying car, but you completely blow the notion of American nobility in the process. The children of the world have no heroic figure to emulate, so the future of mankind continues on its downward spiral into entropy and mass extinction until all that was once great about the human race lies buried in the primordial stew to which we'll most certainly return thanks to you and your ilk's refusal to reach for the stars. And you'll forever be remembered as the sad footnote in the Book of Life, the wimpy little scumbag who could have breached the chasm of becoming and being, but instead opted to cover his own ass and foot in the process.
It's just a coincidence that you were talking about the Jack and Triumph show and I'm here.
Thank you so much for having me on your podcast.
Hey man, this is Kevin Smith, guy who makes all those unlistenable podcasts over at Smodcast.com, and you're listening to the Two Strangers One Podcast. This is podcasting.
You're listening to Two Strangers, One Podcast. Subscribe to us on iTunes or on the Stitcher app for Android devices. Please visit TwoStrangersOnePodcast.net. Now, here's Chris Colon and Paul Pasquillo.
Well, hello and welcome to Two Strangers, One Podcast. I'm Chris.
I'm Paul.
And happy birthday, Paul. Happy belated birthday. I guess it would be the
it's
best.
July 1st.
Well, I haven't seen you. We usually record on Tuesdays, and I haven't seen you in the past 4 days. I don't know why I thought your birthday was the 30th, but I don't know. Last year when we did the roast.
Go to your corner.
Well, if it wasn't for Facebook, I wouldn't know anybody's fucking birthdays. You
That's
know.
True.
So thank God Facebook's there to remind me.
You know,
I'll
be honest.
Friends.
Like, I see a lot of people's birthdays, and I don't like always say happy birthday to everybody. But the problem is like I get so annoyed by all the notifications I get from Facebook. I'm like, I just like brush it away, and then I'm like, oh fuck, it was somebody's birthday. I'm like, shit.
I thought you meant the other way. Like there are people like who will say happy birthday and I appreciate it, but then they're like that's the only time of the year they'll write you a message, you
exactly,
know
what I'm saying? Yeah.
they don't like any post you like, they don't comment on any post you like. Mm-mm. But all of a sudden, you know, happy birthday Chris, okay, thank you for acknowledging my existence.
Or some like random person that you have on your Facebook page is like all of a sudden like messaging you on Facebook like, oh, how are you? And it's just like, okay.
Oh, yeah, we've been getting, I mean, I don't know if it's my personal Facebook, it's my personal Facebook, but I think it's maybe even through the Two Strangers on Podcast. I've been getting a lot of people from like Malaysia and Kuala Lumpur and stuff like that. So, and I'm not insulting them. I'm just saying it's just like, I don't know if it's through the Facebook. Now, of course, like one or two, there's a guy like, oh, you know, I have, you know, could you promote my Fiverr? He has a Fiverr. And it's sort of like just out of the blue. How about asking me first? Like he posted on my page and stuff like that. And that was kind of, you know, that kind of burnt. You know, as soon as I saw that, I just unfriended him.
Yeah.
But, you know, to all the new listeners, welcome. And, you know, then like I had another guy just text me like, oh, what, you know, not text me, you know, sending me messages on Facebook, you know, what time is it in your country? You know, it's like, oh, so it's noon, you know, oh, it's 10 p.m. in my country. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure some of those people that have been adding me are just the intentions are well and good. But,
right.
You know, it is funny how just, you know, the internet being the way it is that, you know, people that I will probably never meet in my lifetime are being friends of mine. So happy birthday. I feel bad because I'm broke, man. I wanted to get you like a gift or something, but I don't know what to get you, you know.
We're all broke.
I'll give you a blowjob later on or something.
Well, Kelsey is not here. Okay, so
it's the gift every man wants. But okay, so we're recording this July the 1st. Perfect storm of assholes today. And I for some reason I thought the weather was gonna be nice, but
no. Nope.
I work in retail, unfortunately. And so with that, today's the 1st of the month. A lot of people get their Social Security benefits, their SSI, a couple other ones. And then there's people who get it on the 1st of the month and people who get it on the 3rd of the month. Well, unfortunately, the 3rd of the month this year, of this month, is going to be on a Sunday. So all the people that were supposed to get their benefits on on the 3rd of the month, get it pushed up till today, the Friday. So it's Friday, which is always kind of busy, especially in my store. It's busy because, you know, we're sort of like, you know, in the middle of, you know, the center of the city. So like, you know, we're at the crossroads. A lot of, you know, and it's a holiday weekend.
Right.
So there's a lot of people out today just with no plans or no, you know, like, you know, most people would be at work or at school and people are taking extended weekends and all this other bullshit. So so it's the perfect storm of assholes. It's the first of the month with the 3rd of the month people being pushed up to the first. It's a Friday. It's a holiday weekend. And, I thought the weather was going to be nice. And that was part of, once again, day late and dollar short. Of course I show up late to Paul's house again. But I brought pizza. I said, I'll stop by Little Caesars and get some pizza. So, but with that, you know, it was raining today. And of course, all the fucking idiots who can't drive because of the rain, like, you know, just, you know, why is it that I can make, you know, if there wasn't this human cholesterol clogging the fucking arteries of the road, I would be here like in 12 minutes or whatever. It should have taken me half an hour to get.
You know what I found out, actually, around 2020, mm-hmm. cars are going to come out starting to have like auto drive.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, well, first of all, that's only like maybe 3 years away, mm-hmm. 3.5 years away at this point. And two, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, we live in Rochester. People are going to fucking get in accidents left and right. Like, seriously, like, I mean, if this was a big city where this shit would probably be tested a lot more,
mm-hmm.
I mean, okay, I could understand that. But like, if that's going to start happening in 2020, we're going to have so many motherfuckers hitting each other. It's not even fun.
I think they say starting 2020. It's not like it's going to be like it's going to pop in everyone's car. It's going to be like one of those luxury items at first.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and one thing I don't like is that, like, if you ever used Google sometimes, like, you go to Google Maps and, like, you go to look at the directions to go somewhere. And, like, just to leave your neighborhood, you're like, oh, there's no way I would take that road. Like, you know, Google Maps, right. Like, go down Main Street. No, fuck you. I'm not going to go down Main Street because I know Main Street has, you know, there's, you know, I'm just using that as an example. You know, I know there's tons of traffic. No, I will go down this side street and then cut at Main Street at the very last minute or something
right,
like that.
Right, right.
So Google is going to shove everyone down, like, the most common routes, you know, because I think Google's like the one behind.
I don't think it has anything to do with Google. Like, the reason I said that is because there's like, the fuck is it? Tesla has it now.
Mm-hmm.
And some, they've already started using it. And the problem is somebody got in an accident.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's been working fine up to this point. But what happened was a tractor trailer truck took a left.
Mm-hmm.
And the auto system took it as something different.
Mm-hmm.
And crashed into it.
Ugh.
And I'm just sitting there going, really?
And what happens is you're going to create people that are lazy. Life is hard enough on the road with people not paying attention or with their hands. Now, if you give someone a false sense of security that the car is going to take care of everything,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they're on their phone or they're fiddling with the fucking satellite radio or you know, they're doing 50 other things and not paying attention to the road, because I think the self-driving cars are going to work where if you grab the wheel or if you jerk the wheel or you do something, you know, if you make some sort of sudden move, it will allow you to take over.
Right.
But these idiots, it's hard enough as it is nowadays. Now you're going to give people even more reason to take their eyes off the road?
Well, and that's another thing too, is like, these cars are already super expensive with the upgrades that they're putting into these cars already.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, first of all, I don't need to have Wi-Fi in a car. No offense to Chevy. I love Chevy. I love Chevy vehicles. And mm-hmm. I will continue to get Chevy vehicles. But why the fuck would I need Wi-Fi in a goddamn car?
Yeah.
Now, okay, I can understand that that's like something you can add on. Mm-hmm. I can understand if that's something that, hey, you know, that makes sense because I'm, you know, such and such businessman that drives all around the fucking country. But to have, like, to have that, it's just like, why? It's adding all this money to my fucking expense.
Mm.
I don't need it.
A car shouldn't come with a subscription.
No. I mean, I get OnStar.
Mm-hmm.
I get XM. I get those.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's like, why?
Yeah, Wi-Fi. And all it is, it's just a portable Wi-Fi spot. That's all it is. It's just, you know, if you were that hardcore into getting something like that, if you got that many unruly freaking kids in the car and the only way you could shut them up is by putting them on iPads or whatever, I mean, you'd have something like that already. You'd have the portable Wi-Fi spot. You know, most phones nowadays, you know, the newer phones, the 4G phones, can automatically turn into Wi-Fi spots. You know, installing that's like now, and of course, you know, as time goes on, as technology changes, you know, that's going to be obsolete. You know what I'm saying? Like, that sounds like a wonderful deal. Now, that's like someone, imagine, like, okay, like my car, I drive a 2007. That's my car. Imagine if there was like a 2007 2007 iPhone installed in my car. You know, I was like, yeah, 2007 was fucking fantastic. Now it's a 9-year-old fucking hunk of shit. And, yeah. And, you know, let's not mention that what if it breaks down? You know, not only do you need a mechanic, now you need fucking IT support, you know, to change, you know, and it's really stupid. I mean, nowadays, you know, it makes no sense. I don't know if that's like we're like the first wave of like to like resist that technology, like, you know, we're like our kids will surpass us and go like, oh, you know,
it's not about resisting the technology, it's about the fact that you know why do I need to be told that, hey, you have to have an automatic car? Like, I don't want that. I want to be able to drive my car. That's the like, you know, that's like the joy of doing things, being able to drive your own car. But, now there are idiots out there that can't drive their car, mm-hmm. and I would love for them to not be able to. So mm-hmm. yeah,
but okay, like, and I'm pretty sure you and I could both relate in this. There was a point where our parents were like, what do I need a computer for? Or there was a point where our parents said, what do I need a smartphone for? Mm-hmm. And now, mind you, okay, my mother's still fucking trapped in the fucking
my 80s,
you know.
both of my parents just have a simple cell phone. They don't have, you know, people were resistant to cell phones. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, because it's, you know, mm-hmm. it's cheaper in most cases to have a cell phone. Mm-hmm. You know, they just have the cell phone.
I think we're going to be the ones falling behind. We're going to be the ones like, what do I need Wi-Fi in my car? And then like 10 years from now, you're like, yeah, well, we're fucking idiots. Everybody has Wi-Fi now. When they have like the cheap alternative, like the Cricket phone, or like when there's the cheap Walmart alternative Wi-Fi for cars, then I think it'll catch on a little more. But okay, so school's out. As I came here today, you're here with your son. Mm-hmm. You know, I just spent the first, you know, I have my daughter 3 days out of the week, so, you know.
Oh, I've had him for a week. So.
Trying to find, you know, when you're a parent and even, okay, my daughter's not going to summer camp this year. Or if she is, I mean, I haven't planned on it. But this is like that 1 week. It's in between like the end of school and the 4th of July. Because any summer camp, they don't start till after the 4th of July anyway. So all the parents are home stuck with their kids this week. You know, and it's funny how
stuck
is not the bad word. I'm sorry. That sounds a little offensive.
And here's the problem. Like for example, I had him for pretty much the whole week. He's mm-hmm. probably going to go back tomorrow. The thing is like I do most of my work during mm-hmm. the week. So it's like, and yeah, I do work on the weekends mm-hmm. for the most part. But, you know, I actually have some designated time so I can spend time with him. But the problem is it's like, you know, when do I have the time to do it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
being a parent sucks sometimes.
Yes.
Okay. I made a video about this. It's funny because I've been trying to do, I didn't realize I could just do straight up Facebook live.
I
invited you.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, the Facebook live. So I've been doing live stream, which is I thought that's what it was. I didn't realize you could do it straight up on Facebook anyway. But I made a video about this on my Facebook page about the Ticketmaster, issue. So, you know, there was a huge, now, and once again, if people have already seen the video that I made, I apologize for repeating myself, but this is for the podcast and this is for posterity. I was already part of a class action lawsuit against, Ticketmaster / Live Nation. Because it was for, there's these theaters, these venues in the south of Jersey. I know, I forgot the name of the other one, but the one that I went to all the time and the one I bought all my tickets for was a place called the PNC Arts Center. So, of course, one day I get this email like, oh, you know, there's this class action lawsuit, and if you want to register at the website, this and this and that, you know, we want to join it. So I was like, okay, shit, you know, free shit, free tickets? Sure, absolutely. You know, I'll sign up for it. And, you know, and also, like, you know, not to mention, I mean, you know, I did legitimately go to these shows. It's not like it's some sort of scam or whatever. And I want to say, I don't know the exact specifics, but I think it has to do with Ticketmaster and Live Nation knew that there were people buying like bulk tickets. Mm-hmm. Like they didn't go the extra effort on stopping people from buying bulk tickets. And then not to mention just price rigging and all this other bullshit. So
they still price.
Oh yeah, of course. You know, it's absolutely, you know.
Let's just be honest. They still price rigged.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and then you take, you know, Ticketmaster fee, and you know, back in the day, it used to be you actually went to a box office. And if you went to a box office or a place that was a legitimate Ticketmaster outlet, because I remember back in the day, my spot, there was a place in Chinatown that looked like, remember the old guy in the beginning of Gremlins?
Yeah.
That like, like, it was like a weird antique shop in Chinatown. And this guy had, you know, I mean, this is, you know, in the 90s, he had a computer. And I guess what, you know, whatever version then of was like, you know, high speed internet or DSL lines or whatever. And so a tier one, I think it was called. And he had one of those. So that was my little secret weapon because nobody knew about it.
Right.
So when Ticketmaster, you know, when people actually waited online or whatever, I remember going to his spot and, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning when tickets went on sale. But, you know, it used to be when you went to those, even though that wasn't an official box office, but let's say you wanted to go see something in Madison Square Garden, you went to the legitimate box office where there's a person sitting in a box selling tickets, you wouldn't have to pay the fee. And nowadays, if, you know, even though it's archaic now, imagine, you know, it shows you how technology, who the hell goes to a box office anymore to buy tickets? Everybody gets their tickets online. But you would go to the box office, and right before those kind of got phased out, Ticketmaster was charging people a Ticketmaster fee. What the why is the use of me going to the box office? Ticketmaster fee was supposed to be the convenience of, oh, I'm doing it at home, I don't have to go wait online or whatever, you know, and they were still kind of charging a fee. So that's like the biggest fucking scam, you know, or, you know, I don't want to say organized crime, but, you know, damn near organized crime. I'm pretty sure there's a network of people out there.
We have people that just don't... Well, I mean, I guess it's not people. I would say, like, Fandango, for example, where you can buy tickets online for movies. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with Ticketmaster. They charge a fee, so that way they can make money. And, you know, maybe... I think it's like $1 or $2 or something, but if you think about it, if you're doing that for the whole nation, and that's over a million people a day, almost, you're making about $1 million.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, it's smart, but some people just don't like Fandango. It's becoming a thing. Like, I'm seeing, like, on days where I shouldn't have any online tickets, I'm seeing more people. Like, I'm seeing at least one person. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, this is getting a little ridiculous. Like, you don't need to buy your ticket. If kids are in school and, you know, nobody's in the theater, you're doing, like, maybe 100 to 200 people a day, there's no reason for you to go to Fandango and be like, oh, let me pay the fee and get the goddamn ticket. Unless you have, like, a gift card.
Yeah.
One of those stupid Fandango gift cards, which is another bitch, by the way. Mm-hmm. They're gonna get in trouble for that, actually, because... They're kind of, what they're doing is they have gift cards. You've seen the Fandango gift cards.
Yeah.
They're in stores. They don't tell you. You can't use them at theater. So they'll go to us. They'll go to Cinemark. They'll go to AMC. They'll go to whatever theater and be like, here's a gift card. And we're like, we can't take this.
Oh, shit. I didn't. I wouldn't know. I would think I could use it also.
And people, and maybe I'm educating people now, but it's just like, you know, the thing is they don't say on the thing. You have to go to our website. You have to go online, order your tickets, use this gift card, and then you can get your tickets.
Oh, that sucks.
Now, with the app on the phone, it makes it, people can do it right there on the spot, so it's not as bad anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of like, it's like for somebody that's really old,
yeah,
gets that,
oh,
they get really
know.
Pissed really fast.
Why can't I use my gift card?
Yeah, whatever,
can I use the kiosk over here?
No, go to hell.
I don't have a smartphone.
Well, do you have Wi-Fi in your car? No. No.
Exactly.
But so, and it's funny, speaking of like Ticketmaster and all this other stuff, New York Comic Con, you know, they started the whole fan verification thing, trying to avoid tickets. One, I don't know, I saw it, I hope it was like a clickbait article, but I think it came from like a legitimate site. A guy couldn't get tickets for New York Comic Con and killed himself. A guy committed suicide. And I could have sworn, I didn't click on the link because I was looking on my phone and I didn't have a chance to click on the link, so I could be wrong. Don't quote me on that. But, you know, the tickets went on sale like a couple of days ago. They're already sold out. Even Sunday sold out. And who the fuck goes on Sunday? You know, it's like generally Sunday is like the shit day. You know, I mean, I'm glad I got the press pass, you know, but.
Oh, I was going to break down some doors if that fucking happened.
And so, but, you know, once again, to avoid this kind of piracy, but I'm hearing, I'll get back to the whole Ticketmaster voucher thing. But like I was saying, there are people selling New York Comic Con tickets on eBay, because all you had to do was set up an account. So I guess all you have to do, if you just took the extra steps and set up an email account, you know what I'm saying, and then you're selling the tickets and go, okay, not only am I selling you the ticket, but here's the email that you have to get it at, you know what I'm saying, you know comicbookfan123@aol.com, here's the password. You know, is it going extra steps? Yeah, but if there's, you know, if you could sit at home and do the work, or even, you know, you and a team of people, I mean, you could still make a profit. And especially New York Comic Con, you know, the past 2 years, obviously, it's fucking most fun I've ever had in my life. You know, there is a demand, you know, so you could easily jack up the prices for three times, four times what they're legitimately worth, an average person would have paid. Because I think, if I'm not mistaken, I want to say it was like $40 a day. It was like $40 a day, but then if you bought all 3 days, you know, you got some sort of discount, or I mean, for 4 days. I think it was like $120 for all 4 days, which would have been what? It would have been 40. It would have been 160. But I'm just saying is, you know, okay.
Well, but think about it. If you're going all 4 days, here's the thing. $120 for all 4 days, mm-hmm. plus most of those people that are doing autographs and that are going to charge you for mm-hmm. an autograph, plus hotel room if you're coming from somewhere else, which a lot of people are. Mm-hmm. That's a really expensive con.
Well, yeah, no, but allow me to be the fanboy. I think it's fucking worth it. I mean, I had so much fun. And mind you, and that's the whole thing is I had a press pass. And I understand. Now, the first year, my schedule and work and money issues, I only went 2 days that first year. Then the second year, I went all 4 days, fucking exhausted myself out and everything like that. But, you know, once again, had the most fun I've ever had in my life. You know, I mean, you know, and mind you, to the point of exhaustion, you know, like, you know, don't worry, you know, and my cameraman, Matt, you know, like, he always wanted to go back to the press room and go sit down or whatever. I'm like, no, there's more to be seen, you know, and don't get me wrong. I love you. I appreciated going to the press area and sitting down and just hanging out and grabbing a cup of coffee or something. But,
well, I think, first of all, it's great that they have a press room. I like that idea. Mm-hmm. I know MomoCon did have one at one point, but I don't remember. I think they do kind of have a press room. It's really weird, but it actually says something that New York Comic Con would set something up like that. Mm-hmm. Also, you know, I think that having, if you do enough coverage, like I think if you do like 5 interviews coming out of New York Comic Con, they can't really say anything to you the next year when you do a press room. So mm-hmm. for me, it's, you know, I think that you should get as many interviews in that as you possibly can. Now, oh, yeah. Some years are going to be hard because, well, it's hard to contact.
Yeah, oh, it's trying to make the planets align. I mean, you know, between.
I want
to
kill you. Just come here. Give me your contact. You know, whatever. But
no, I mean, you know, and as being a person that, you know, and these were, you know, obviously, I think you set up all the interviews, except for, I know the George Christic one. I think I kind of spearheaded that one. But you know, all the other interviews, like I said, it is trying to make the planets align because you got to get there. You know, obviously, you know, in this situation, me and Matt, you know, then you have to meet the person. If the person is doing press or anything like that, like the Steve Bloom, Logic interview, we had planned it for Saturday. It didn't happen until Sunday. And even when Sunday happened, we had to go wait online with everybody else, you know, I actually went to their panel just to get tickets, even though they already made an arrangement with us. I still, you know, we had to go all through all these extra steps and don't be wrong. Was fucking Steve Bloom a fantastic person? Logic was a fucking fantastic interview and it was a great deal. But I'm just saying, it's just when you're doing interviews and stuff like that, it's fucking trying to fucking make, you know, I keep saying the same thing, making the planets align. It is a fucking right. concerted effort to get shit done. You're sending emails, you're sending texts, you get in contact. Okay, can I see you at 5:30? Okay, I'll see you at 5:30. At 5:30, okay, I'm gonna be 15 minutes late. And then, all right, but I gotta be somewhere at 6. So, is it sometimes, you know, you get better results slamming your head against the wall? Yeah, but that being said, it is so much fun and energy. You know, you go and it's like, and you just, you see these people that, you know, you feel the passion in the room. Maybe it's because, you know, like I went the first 2 years that I actually beat out San Diego Comic-Con, like in attendance and stuff like that. You know, maybe in a couple of years it'll get stale and no one will give a damn anymore.
I don't
and
the think so.
Superhero movies will drop down. Oh, who gives a shit about superhero movies anymore? But that being said, I mean, right now it is the golden age and it feels like a golden age. And I will always look back.
Movie theaters will be around for the next 5 to 10 years.
Well, no, but I'm just saying is, you know, something, you know, like I'm just saying superhero movies themselves, like, you know, the cycle will go away.
That's what you gotta understand.
Now westerns are back or something.
Right. But what I'm saying to you is, like, these types of movies are the thing that's saving the industry. Mm-hmm. Having like these horror films that people want to see mm-hmm. are saving the industry. You know, The Purge is coming out this weekend as we record.
Oh, that's right.
Even though it's going to be annoying that these stupid kids are going to try to get into this rated R film, it is what it is. You know. Mm-hmm. You know. So. Yeah.
So I took my daughter. We went to go see Finding Dory. I took my daughter. You know, once
somehow
again,
you snuck into my theater.
Trying to no, it is not. I paid. Now get this shit. I paid, you know, me and my daughter, $10. And I was like, that's fucking fantastic. I couldn't believe it.
Well, yeah, without the card, it's $5. With the card, it's $4.
Well, that's the whole, and they keep shoving the card on my face. And I'm like, oh yeah, whatever. Okay, whatever. And now that I see, because then I went to go buy fucking popcorn. Because I don't want to deny my daughter at the fucking movie theater. So, you know, we went popcorn, soda, and a fucking bag of fucking Sour Patch Kids. $20. It was double the admission for us to eat than it did for the actual tickets.
Did I mention that it's half off popcorn on Tuesday?
I should have had my stupid card. You know, and they keep, like I said, they keep shoving it in my face. And honestly, not for nothing, the last two times I went to the theater, they sort of just gave it to me. Like, someone asked me, oh, do you have it? I'm like, no. And they just gave it to me with the ticket.
Right.
But, so, you know, $20 to see fucking, $10 for tickets, $20 for fucking popcorn and soda. So I think I paid your salary for a few hours there.
No, it's probably more than that.
And then, but so I saw that and I actually got a chance. I saw Warcraft and it was good. I mean, I guess, I don't know if maybe I should have saved that for the second half of the show with the nerdy news, but I enjoyed it. I, it wasn't good. As weird as that sounds, it wasn't a good movie, but I enjoyed it.
Did you get the code, by the way?
I asked for one. So,
I have one upstairs.
Oh, okay. I'll take that one also. Cause what they were doing was that they said, I guess you could download the game. And is it downloading for free? Yeah, it's going to download for free, but because it's a subscription based game. And then they give you like a code so you could get the cool looking swords that are in the movie in the game or whatever. So when I get my ass handed to me. So I think with that, we'll be back with more Dick and Fart Joke.
This episode of Two Strangers, One Podcast is brought to you by Comics Etc., 1115 East Main and North Goodman at the Hungerford Building, door number 8. Find out more information at comicsetc.biz or like them on Facebook at facebook.com/comicsetc1.
Click and Hit, enhancing the experience for all recreational smokers. Click and Hit is a one-handed portable vaporizer. This smoking pipe has a compact four-stage design, complete with a built-in windproof butane refillable torch lighter. The large burn chamber holds your stash of legal herb or pipe tobacco. Click the button to ignite and inhale as usual. When you are done, put it back in your pocket for later. Smoke anytime with the touch of a button. No more carrying around grinders and tins. Pipe, rolling papers, and even your lighter at home. The Click and Hit cordless vaporizer is no bigger than a normal cigar, making it the world's smallest and most discreet vaporizer. It's perfect for use in small places or shared rooms. It's efficient, getting 5 to 8 draws from your packed chamber. It's affordable at just $19.95 each. Buy 3 and the shipping is free. Buy 4 and you get the 5th one free. Visit www.click-hit.com. That's clickandhit.com.
And now for listeners of Two Strangers, One Podcast, you can use promo code STRANGERS and receive 10% off your purchase at clickandhit.com. That's promo code STRANGERS for 10% off your purchase.
And we're back. Okay, so before we get into the hardcore nerdy news, you've been having...
this is kind of nerdy news, actually.
Well, I guess, yeah, and I've been... And this is something that I've noticed as a trend as a person who does put out YouTube videos. You've been having issues with YouTube.
All right, so... Well, number one, what I don't understand why this isn't a feature already, but in some cases, and I have to figure out how to do this, but you can have your YouTube exclusively into one country. Like, for example, Funimation, which is an anime company here in the United States, has it so that their YouTube page is only available in North America. Mm-hmm. So that way, if it's seen, it can't be seen in Japan, can't be seen in the other countries, because, well, if it's seen over there, the company may take care of their stuff.
Yeah, if it has like a different release date, right, or something like that.
So, unfortunately, a typical YouTuber's account is everywhere. It goes worldwide. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, in some cases is not bad, but it's becoming an issue because, for example, any review that I've done, any video review I've done, whether it be Geeky, whether it be ToonamiFaithful.com, that I've done on an anime that I think should be on Toonami, that I'm just doing a review in general, I've always gotten, like, some kind of copyright match, which I don't care. I don't need to make money off of a review. Mm-hmm. I just want to review it for fun. It brings traffic to the site. You know, I'm pretty good at doing that kind of stuff. You know, it's great. What I've been noticing is, like, with this last review, so I had a review for Tokyo Ghoul Season 1. It's been up for almost a year.
Oh, sure.
And all of a sudden, I got this copyright claim. Mm-hmm. And it took it off complete, and it said, you know, you don't have the rights to play this. And I'm like, well, yes, I do. Mm-hmm. It's the North American version of the anime series. I have permission. Oh, by the way, here's the link to it on their Facebook page, their official Facebook page. Mm-hmm. Okay? This is not me trying to make something up. I'm not trying to take your rights. I have permission to do this, okay? Within 5 minutes, they deny it, even though I put that link in there, and I clearly, it's not only fair use because I have the footage, but it's also, you know, I have permission. Mm. They not only denied it, but then I got a copyright strike. Mm. And I'm sitting there going, so let me get this straight. You're denying my review because in the scene that's at the end of it, to give people an idea of what the series is like, it's like a 2 minute scene. Because your music is playing in it, you're going to take it down? It's a review. It's not monetized. I'm not making any money off of it. You can clearly see that. Mm-hmm. But you're going to take it down. Even though you could have just hit the button and gone, I want ad revenue from it. And that would have gotten you even more. Mm-hmm. So I think it was done. It's like music something ASQ.
Oh, they're, yeah. They're,
yeah, it's one of the ones. It's one of the ones that's been like claiming a lot every, of videos. Yeah.
That's been a pretty nasty thing going on recently. And because since I make YouTube videos, I mean, I haven't done it in a while, but, you know, I'd like to make more, but I do follow a lot of people on Facebook, you know, the Nostalgia Critic or Boogie2988 or a couple other people where they've been going through there are, like, for the lack of a better term, like, they have programs or bots, you know, these were more properly bots, where if you put any kind of keyword that says, you know, yada, you know, from the company, you know, like let's think this, that company would say, you know, oh, we know we own Joe Smith's cartoon, whatever. And then if you put Joe Smith anywhere in the description or the name or whatever, it'll automatically go and file a claim or flag the video. And then unfortunately, YouTube being the way it is, YouTube automatically goes into shutdown mode. And I'm like, you know, it takes it all down immediately.
That's what really annoys me is it's like, if it's bothering you in another country, then just block it in that country. Mm-hmm. Don't give me this bullshit about whatever. Mm-hmm. And see, that's the thing that's what really annoys me. And I got to really research this because, you know, I think there's a way that you can get like a bigger account, a YouTube account, like you can upgrade your account. Mm-hmm. And I really want to do that. And I'm hoping that it gives me the feature to just be North America, because, well, in America, like North America, South America, Canada, because it's ridiculous. It's fucking ridiculous, Chris. Like, I should not have to worry about my video being taken down because some music's in a video, even though I have the permission to use that scene because the North American distributor said I could. Mm. It's like, you know, it makes it hard for me to do any of these reviews now. I have to do them right. I have to write these reviews, you know, and as much as I love to write a review, I would rather do a video review, you know, and show people what it is.
Because people are more likely to hit a video link than I mean, you know, unfortunately, people don't want to read nowadays. you could post a fantastic review if you wanted to, but you're more likely someone that'll click a link to YouTube and watch a video.
And like, I have, there's a review that we did a while ago for Blood Sea. It's an anime. I believe it was the 12 episode anime. And it took off. It's over like 100,000 views on Geeky, the biggest one we've ever done. And for some odd reason, every once in a while, I get a copyright. It's not a copyright claim. It's people, and I think it's because of how many views it has. I get people like, whatever, some odd company from wherever, fucking files a claim against it to get money against it. Mm-hmm. And I don't dispute them because whatever, but it's just like, you know what I mean? Like, it's ridiculous. It's like, you know, like, I shouldn't have to, you know, share anything with these people. And they shouldn't be getting any money off of a video if it's not monetized either.
Well, that's another scam that's going on. A company will say that they have a claim to music that you're using in the video. And then they'll hit the option that says, okay, you can use this video, but only if we share revenue.
Right.
And there are people that want their content out there, so automatically they'll click, sure, you know, okay, we'll share the revenue.
Well,
and then while they fight it, or even if they do their homework and they find out that the person had no claim whatsoever, all that time until the person who put up the video, gets a definite answer and whatever, all that time, that second company, you know, the company that, you know, said that just made the claim is collecting revenue on a video that's circulated because, you know, I mean, you know, yeah, there, you know, there's a million reviews, there's a million reaction videos, there's a million, you know, people go to certain content creators because they like that content creator, you know, oh, this person's consistent, this person, you know, I like the way they review things, you know, I don't have to sit through, you know, a 20 minute video of a heavy breathing 14-year-old, you know, who doesn't know what the fuck they're talking about, you know, so it just, it's a real fucked up thing going on right now. I mean, YouTube, you know, as much as, you know, I'd like to be a part of, you know, I'd like my YouTube videos to be a little more popular and stuff like that. You know, it turns out just, I guess, you know, there's just fucking headaches always down the road. Someone's got to come and fuck it up for you.
It is headaches. And, you know, like, I'm going to look at it right now. The review is like over 158,000 views as I'm looking at it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to see, I have to look at these. What's the best on here? I'm going to put it on here. Okay. Mm-hmm. Trying to see here. So, one of my favorites is we got permission from Nickelodeon to do like Ninja Turtles review. And this is why we actually stopped doing it. So people that actually listen to this, the reason why we stopped doing reviews for the Ninja Turtle series is because, let me see here. I'm trying to see if it tells me. Oh, that's not the video. There's one where it's only, it's this one. It says it's blocked in some countries. It's blocked in every country except Canada.
Except Canada.
I'm not even kidding you. Like, it's blocked in every single country except Canada. Mm-hmm. And I'm like sitting there looking at it like, so what's the point of me putting this up?
Mm-hmm. No offense to our friends in Canada, our listeners in Canada.
So, you know, I had a review for Summer Wars. Mm-hmm. Right now it's blocked in all countries by somebody. Probably take that down because I don't want to hear a fucking bitch. Mm-hmm. But, like this Blood Sea review. I'll look at it right now. I got one that says, can't monetize video. Okay, that's fine. And then I got one that says, monetized by claimant. I'm like, what?
Monetized by claimant. So someone is saying that.
So, it's called Squared Points. I have no idea who the fuck that is, but it's just, I have no idea. Like, it doesn't make any sense. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I understand where you're coming from and I understand you want your money and that's fine. I've actually like on the Tokyo Ghoul review when it got, cause when you post something up, it'll sometimes just automatically copyright it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. I don't care. And actually somebody was getting revenue off it was actually advertising season 1 of Tokyo Ghoul. And I was like, fine, great, wonderful. That's exactly what I want you to do. Boom. All of a sudden now I got, you're going to need to take down your thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Okay. But yeah,
it sucks. YouTube is really fucking the creators. I mean, you know, once again, in a world where it's supposed to be fair use, you know, and you know, once again, anyone can, you know, I can understand, you know, I understand copyright. Like, don't get me wrong. I understand that you're not playing, you know, I'm not talking about being able to go on YouTube and watch a whole fucking movie or listen to a whole song. You know, there are bands out there who do officially release their videos on their particular page. And for people who copy and repost that shit, okay, that's copyright infringement. That's straight up. You're putting up shit that you did no fucking other thing other than just fucking re-upload it, you know. And don't get me wrong, YouTube is filled with bullshit like reaction videos and
I'll be honest with you, what I would like to see, and then we'll move on because, you know, we're getting close to when you need to get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
I want and I'm really starting to think that I might just start a company myself and, you know, be able to put up videos.
Mm-hmm.
Is a company that will allow you, like, have it like a combination of YouTube and Vimeo. So, you know, you can have a free account and you can post videos that are certain, like it can only be like, let's say 15 minutes
mm-hmm.
long. Typical interviews between 10 to 15 minutes video wise anyways, usually.
Mm-hmm.
You can have that. If you want a bigger video, if you want to upload as, you know, as much as you want, then you have to pay for it. But also what you can do is you can put these videos up and you can prove to a live person that you have permission to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that be over Skype, you show them, hey, look, I have the actual thing.
Mm-hmm.
This gives me fair use. This is where I took it from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same thing with, you know, Funimation. Like, there should be, like, I wouldn't say like a court, but like a way to actually prove it. So that, okay, fine. Look, the copyright person still doesn't like this, but what we'll do is we'll block it in all these countries except North America. So the people that you really want will still watch this. Mm-hmm. And I think that would be fair.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then nobody gets hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, if somebody wants a cut of the money that a video is going to make, go ahead. You're the ones that made the footage.
Mm-hmm.
If you want a cut of my money, that's fine. All I want you to do is prove that you're that person.
Mm-hmm.
I know who Bandai is. I definitely know who Toei is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what Squared Points. What the fuck is Squared Points?
Mm-hmm.
Like, who are you? Like, I don't know who you are. You could be somebody that is just...
That's their thing.
Right.
You know, and think about it. If you do it enough times or whatever, or you make any other bogus name or whatever, you know, I mean, you could once again create a profit. Kind of like Ticketmaster.
Exactly.
Kind of like the people scalping Ticketmaster prices, you know. It's a version of an organized crime, you know. But
so I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous, honestly. And I'm to the point where I just want to, you know, not deal with it anymore. I want to be able to take my videos, put them up, and then don't have to worry about it, you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem. Like, we're having to worry about this stuff each and every time that you put up a video. And it's, you know, on some of the best best ones that we actually do, we're not getting any revenue off because we can't. Nobody will allow us to do that. And that's the problem here. You know, how am I as a person supposed to get money by doing these videos when I can't even get that because you are going to just copyright everything I fucking put up? It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And you know, I shouldn't have to email Funimation 50 times to get their, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to even get something in writing. So
yeah,
it's really frustrating, Chris. So
yeah. So all right, let's move on from that to the more nerdy news. And something I'm super duper fucking excited about. Combiner Wars. Transformers Combiner Wars. Coming to Machinima. And I guess if I'm okay, and if I understand this correctly, they're releasing I think it's only 4 episodes right now. Mm-hmm. And on the, so right now they're, oh okay, I don't, okay, I think, okay, maybe it's the prelude is only 4 episodes. So basically it's Transformers making a comeback based off the IDW comics that, you know,
it looks like the original series.
Yeah, they're keeping relatively true, and of course, I mean, you got to update a little bit or whatever. And then there's a guy I follow on Facebook. He calls them Tron lines. Like when they have stuff that glows on them, that's like, it's not necessary. But I mean, you gotta have to update it just a little bit. So, they're releasing, the prelude comic. There's already one right now, called Prime War Trilogy. Mm-hmm. Oh boy. Shit. I had it on my page and I fucking lost it. But, basically Transformers are coming back. Friend of the show, George Kurstick, is a writer for the show.
Yes.
You know, he's promised that it's going to be good. So I think if you're a fan of the show, you're probably a fan of, Combiner Wars. And I just had the fucking thing. Okay. The trilogy is called Prime Wars, and that's sort of like a teaser trailer. The animation's a little unique. It's not fully flowing animation. It's sort of like there's, you know, as things move, it kind of like, I don't know. It's not, the stop animation isn't the right word I'm looking for, but it's a stylized animation where, you know, it goes from still photo to still photo, but the pictures are kind of close enough where it does look animation. So if you're into that, definitely check it out. And like I said, they just released the first one of the Prime Wars trilogy on, it's on YouTube, it's on Facebook, it's all over the place. So if you're into that stuff, go check it out.
And we'll talk more about it when it comes out.
Yeah. And I mean, of course, you know, don't get me wrong, of course I want to interview George Kurstick, but I mean, even after Comic-Con last year, I would like to see if we could set up an interview after everything is out, so then we could fully talk about it. Because every, you know, if we ask him beforehand, you know, I can't talk about it. After it's out, then we'll do a more concerted, organized interview where we can say, okay, what the hell's going on? What is this about? What's that about? You know, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm just saying it's just, you know, give us a little inside information on such and such, or, you know, how did this come to be? Because Combiner Wars, for those who remember the original series, the Combiners are the Gestalt robots, the ones that are the big robots made up of smaller, of the, you know, 5 other smaller ones, which, you know, oddly enough, it's when the Combiner Wars comes out just right around the time Voltron hits Netflix or whatever. So, you know, in that same vein where you had, I mean, the most famous one obviously is Devastator, you know, the Constructicons Devastator,
right.
You know, Bruticus and Predaking and Computron,
the one that
and
switches back and forth.
Yeah, the one that switches.
The one that's like a double, like he's not a double agent, but he was a Decepticon, but really he was Autobot.
Oh no, he's talking about Starfire, Skyfire.
No, not Starfire. One of the construction bots, I thought was
jump maybe, back and forth. I mean, that's some new shit that I'm not aware of.
I remember it was. I know it was in the one with the minicons.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, I think maybe that was just part of that one, that series. Okay. But there was one, I think it was one of the construction bots where he's like, he was acting like a bad guy, but he was inside.
Mm-hmm. Like a double agent.
Right. He was inside for the Autobots, so he eventually came back. I'll have to look it up, but it was...
I don't know if that's going to be in this one, but, you know, like I said, the bigger ones are like Predaking, Computron, Bruticus. Of course, Devastator's like the main one. And it's sort of like, this sort of takes place, you know, taking, you know, it kind of takes place in the G1 universe, the original cartoon universe, but like way, way into the future where, you know, things are all fucked up and, you know, with the wars have like depleted both sides. So there aren't that many left. And, you know, they kind of tap into the technology. Cause if I understand it correctly, you know, and I could be told wrong cause I haven't really followed the comics, is that now what they find out what makes the combiner technology. And so now anybody could fucking like any bunch of robots, any 5 robots can come together and form a bigger robot. But like, if I, and this from the a few comics I did read, it's sort of weird because an Autobot and a Decepticon could combine. But when you combine with someone, you kind of tap into their brain.
Right.
And you become like entangled in their soul or whatever. So it's sort of like, you know, because I think the big one in this one is like him and, I don't know if it's Ironhide or Ratchet. And like, I want to say it's probably Ironhide. Like Ironhide becomes, like, he's still technically a good guy, but he's like a bad good guy. Like he's a good guy, but like he'll still, you know, when Prime says, you know, wants to use restraint and stuff like that, it's, no, fuck it, we have to kill all the Decepticons and, you know, cut off their heads and shit like that. Oh, they were Punch and Counterpunch, but that was, I think that one, they were just a race car.
Yeah, it looks like, that's not who I'm talking about. Yeah. It was somebody else, that what it was. I'm going to have to look it up.
Yeah, so we'll just wait for that to unfold, but I'm super excited that a legitimate, and I say mature, I mean, you know, this seems to be very serious, you know, it's not, you know, dark is not the right word, because I don't want to say it's dark, because that sounds like, oh, you know, it's you know, depressing. It just, it's dark. They're doing a serious take on Transformers, and I'm super excited about it. Okay, once again, took my daughter to go see Finding Dory. Saw Warcraft. Finding Dory was cute. I don't know. Even though it was technically, I mean, it seemed more in depth than the first one, but I don't know. I still kind of like the first one. The first one feels like it has a little bit more heart. You know, it was good. They kind of overused Dory as like a, and I'll get off this real quick, but I just, you know, they did a lot of real cheap, like, oh, here's Dory as a little baby, like a little teeny tiny, you know, when she was like just hatched or whatever, fish or whatever. And, you know, like, you know, with big eyes and saying, oh, you know, I love my daddy, you know, like, come on, stop fucking playing that cute card. You know, there's, right. You know, was it cute? Yeah. And of course, you know, the Pixar animation is fantastic and you watch and you're like, oh, you know, but then, you know, how many times are you going to keep hitting that button in the movie of like, here's, you know, Dory as a little baby. And of course, you know, a lot of the movie goes back to flashbacks, which is funny because she can't remember, but as she's slowly remembering, she's going to her childhood. They kind of overuse the, oh, she's so cute kind of thing a little too much. Warcraft, once again, it was good but bad at the same time. It was the actors, the orcs looked fantastic, you know, the CG was good. The main bad guy, in my opinion, should have used that design for Doomsday and Batman v Superman. the bad guy in Warcraft looked more of Doomsday than Doomsday did in Batman v Superman. If anybody saw the movie, I'm talking about the wizard, the old wizard, he looked more like Doomsday than Batman v Superman. Okay, this one got me sort of excited. Marvel Studios and Fox Studios, and once again, this is totally a rumor, there's no basis behind it whatsoever, but seeing what's going on with Spider-Man, it's not out of the realm of possibility that Fox and Marvel Studios are in talks to have some sort of shared universe where we have all the X-Men. You know, obviously Fox would be all the X-Men and Deadpool, and Marvel right now, I mean, with all its other side movies, is pretty much focusing on the Avengers. You know, a comic book nerd can easily say, oh, well, maybe if this is some sort of funky crossover shared universe event, we can go back a couple years like they did in the comics and had an X-Men versus the Avengers storyline. Now, of course, you know, they wouldn't follow it exactly because these movies, they borrow from the source material, but they don't follow it super faithfully. And especially with all the, you know, there would be way too much complications between Fox and how they want their characters represented in Marvel and how they want their characters represented. But the idea of them sharing a universe and having some sort of X-Men versus Avengers movie, you know, and especially, you know, I mean, you know, the X-Men, love them or hate them, at least they've spent enough time in this universe where these are established characters. Not like all of a sudden, oh, here's a whole new set of Avengers. I mean, here's a whole new set of X-Men we never fucking heard of.
Right.
You know, they got young people in these roles, you know, set up where, you know, and, you know, we have like one more X-Men movie coming out, if I'm not mistaken.
So he was Scavenger.
Scavenger. Okay.
He, because in Armada, he was, because I remember this distinctly. He was part of Megatron's team. And then all of a sudden he just switched over and everybody's like looking at him like, what? The Autobots are like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Because he was Optimus Prime's instructor.
Oh, okay. But then again, I mean, you know, once you get into all the other Transformers, then it gets a real fuck. You know, to me, Transformers is G1, and that's it. I don't care about Beast Wars.
I gotta say though,
I don't care about Armada. I don't care about Prime. You know, Autobot Transformers Prime. I mean, great shows in their own little world, but once you start diluting the brand, then it starts getting a little fucking confusing. Like I said, you and I just had a conversation where I had no idea what the fuck you're talking about. Not saying it didn't happen. But you know, and then, I mean, don't get me wrong, I mean, IDW is doing their own things. Like, I guess one of the things that happened recently that everyone's pissed off is about is that Megatron became an Autobot for a little while, you know, and a lot of people are pissed off about that. But, you know, they're sort of like, you know, oh, well, if Captain America be Hydra, then I guess Megatron can be an Autobot. But I think that, you know, they're, oh, you know, he's playing Prime or whatever. So,
well, they did that to, they do that to fuck with people, too.
Yeah, yeah. They kind of do it just to put a little juice in it.
But
in
I
it.
Think we need to wrap this up here.
Yeah. So, let
That's
me see.
What she said, by the way.
That's what she said. Yeah. How did I miss that? How did I miss that obvious... Okay, also, just real quick, they had introduced this character for Transformers 5 called Squeaks.
Yeah,
and
I have
you
no
know
idea
it,
what that is.
And it's, I mean, that's the whole thing. It doesn't exist in the comics, but it looks, in the GoBots in the 80s, there was a character called Scooter, who was a scooter. So basically, they're introducing a fucking GoBot into the fucking, I mean, I'm not saying that's what they're doing, but, you know, one, it's this obviously little cutesy character that looks right. all, you know, it's obviously there to fucking reel in the 5-year-olds.
I find it interesting that they're bringing back some of the original people into this because Tyrese is back. Josh is back. So it's going to be interesting to see how they play into this with because Mark Wahlberg's going to be in it too. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that plays.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it isn't like fucking Tyrese and fucking Josh Duhamel were working. It's not like they're taking the time out of their busy schedule. You know,
I'm pretty sure
they were fucking giving fucking a blowjob to fucking Michael Bay. Please put us back in the movies. We need work.
Please,
I'll fucking juggle the balls. I'll work the shaft and cradle the balls.
All right.
So
we get the point.
But you know, but they introduced this character called Squeaks, which is a super obvious ploy to kind of reel in the 6-year-olds and for the Happy Meals and everything like that. But he looks, his character design and everything looks very reminiscent of a GoBot, which is like, oh my god, now the Transformers has gotten so bad that now they're bringing in GoBots. They're, you know, with the Flash and now with Supergirl moving over to the CW, and they have Flash, and they have Legends of Tomorrow, and they have Arrow,
Superman.
They're bringing in a Superman who was from the I've never watched a show on MTV, but you know, they did it. There's a show called Teen Wolf, so they're bringing in the actor that played the Teen Wolf.
Stupid.
Which, you know, when I say stupid, I mean, yeah, it should have been Tom Welling. It should have been.
I honestly, look, I get it. You know, that universe really doesn't have to be, but here's the thing. If you did the series, why not use him? Now, I get it. I understand why you didn't do that, because you kind of fucked up. You have a Green Arrow that looks different than the Green Arrow you had in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand why, you know, if Tom Welling is doing Superman, you got to acknowledge this Green Lantern. But honestly, dude, like, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, because the Green Lantern, the Oliver Queen they had in Smallville was only there for like the last 2 or 3 seasons or something like that. I mean, they could have, you know, Tom Welling was Superman for fucking, 9 seasons or whatever. So, but they're bringing in, but like at, when I first read the headline, it said Teen Wolf actor to play Superman. For a quick second, I thought Michael J. Fox is playing Superman, which is kind of, you can make insert your own incredibly insulting joke. But I guess now with that, they're introducing Supergirl. They're not reintroducing, but the character, the Barriette and the actors, I can't believe it, Grant Gustin tweeted just the word Flashpoint, you know, so a lot of people are excited. Like, what do you mean Flashpoint? Obviously, I mean, it's not gonna be a direct translation of the Flashpoint paradox or Flashpoint from the comics, but you know, he said Flashpoint, and once again, you know, now that they're introducing Supergirl and technically introducing Superman into, you know, even though there was the crossover, you know, he went to one universe into another, but you know, they're sort of, you know, now that they're reintroducing Supergirl, you know, and he's saying Flashpoint, you know, it's I'm really excited on what they're going to do with it. I haven't had a chance to watch Legends of Tomorrow. Arrow is a little dark for me, but the Flash I liked. Supergirl, the episodes I did watch of Supergirl were good, so that's cool. And also, I just, you know, they had E3 recently, and two of the games that I was kind of excited about, or at least ones that I was like kind of interested in watching the gameplay, was there was an actual Friday the 13th game, but it looks like garbage. I was so excited. And then they're doing a DC Injustice Part 2, which is basically just Mortal Kombat X, but with superheroes in it. And, you know, does the game look fantastic? It looks fantastic, but to me, fighting games are always fucking boring. So, you know, am I excited about, like, am I happy for that they're making a game like that? Yeah, but I'm not going to buy it. I'm not interested in it at all. Shit. So please visit twostrangers1podcast.net where you can find all things show related. You can find links to our iTunes page where you can subscribe to us on iTunes if you have an iPhone, iPad, or iPod. If you don't have an iPhone, an iPad, or iPod, you can download us on the Stitcher app. That's STITCHER, the Stitcher app for Android devices. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/twostrangersonepodcast. That's all spelled out, facebook.com/twostrangersonepodcast. Of course, we want your money. We need your money. But if you can't support the show, the least you could do is to share and like us on your page, or like this particular episode, or share us on your page. Please like us. Please like us. and I meant to say, what I like about Stitcher is that's how I listen to my podcast. If you're not in a Wi-Fi spot, you can hit the listen later option and listen offline or whatever, and then download the episodes while you're in a Wi-Fi spot. Listen to later so it doesn't kill your data, doesn't kill your battery. You can write to us at twostrangersonepodcast@gmail.com, all spelled out, twostrangersonepodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Stranger Podcast. That's the at symbol Stranger Podcast. You can find us on YouTube. You go on YouTube, search for Two Strangers One Podcast. The episodes that you won't find on iTunes or on Stitcher have been uploaded to YouTube. And of course, if you'd like, you could also check out my Stranger Vlogs. That's VLOG, Stranger Vlogs. I've done about 33 of them so far. So go back and you can watch them there. And I have a couple of ideas for new ones. I just haven't had the time or energy to actually get in front of a computer and record them. And with that, I acquiesce the floor to you, sir.
All right. Well, you can find me on Twitter at Paul Pasquillo. You can Instagram me, instagram.com/Paul Pasquillo. And of course, you can ask me questions. It's ask.fm/Paul Pasquillo. And of course, if you guys want to see some of my work, you can go to geekyink.com and see some of the reviews and album reviews and all that kind of stuff too, especially the Voltron review.
So, oh, yeah, most recently.
Yep.
And Geek Inc. And I'm trying to Of course, this computer's taking forever. I haven't had a chance to check the email, and I think it's coming up right now. Here we go. Any new email? Nope, no new email. So please write to us, twostrangersonepodcast@gmail.com. With that, we certainly hope you guys enjoyed recording and had as, hope you guys had as much fun as we did listening and recording. We certainly hope you guys had as much fun as We certainly hope you guys enjoyed listening and had as much fun as we did recording. Thank you for listening to Two Strangers on a Podcast. I'm Chris.
I'm Paul.
Don't be a stranger.
Peace.
Bye. You should be fapping.
All right, here we go, man. Go ahead. You want
to read Double it? Jackpot.
What is it?
It is a self-published book by Christopher Colon.
Chris Colon smells good to me. But look at her. That broke that fucking cold little look to her. He's like, hee.
But it is spelled C-O-L-O-N.
Him punny.
But Double Jackpot is a book about a comic book artist, Eric, who is in a loveless relationship with a materialist,
I feel you, Eric.
Lynette.
Fucking. Are you sure I didn't write this? I sounds hauntingly familiar.
He starts cheating on his girlfriend with a more creatively supportive woman, Nadia.
Well, I gotta meet her. Where's the Nadia?
There's your summer girlfriend.
Summer Nadia. Is Nadia.
Nadia?
Yeah, I think Nadia spelled with an A.
All right.
Both Lynette and Nadia play the double jackpot, the largest payout in lotto history, much like the recent Powerball. Both girls play his birth date as the winning numbers. Eric is now stuck between two of the country's richest women. Who will he choose? It's not that simple. This is a clever fucking idea,
yeah,
man.
Is.
Look at her. Fucking, she's impressed.
I am.
Summer. She got some summer reading. Christopher Colon smells real lovely with an original idea. Is it? I've never heard this before.
I haven't either. This is a self-published book, much in the indie spirit as Kev's Clerks.
Oh, you don't even need to name check me. It's just a good idea. You could stand on your own, man. You don't even have to be like, hey, remember Clerks? This is nothing like that. This is way more original than Clerks. This is a good idea, man. Why didn't I think of this?
I need something to read. This book is part of the Comic Books, Heavy Metal, Video Games Trilogy Book 2. Odd I See, A Tale from the Road, coming soon.
Right on, man. It's part of a trilogy. This is the first part.
Way to write, man.
He's seeking a literary agent. Motherfuckers, anybody out there? There ain't no literary agents listening to this show, I assure you, sure. Sure, I assure you, sure. But somebody know a literary agent? Hook a motherfucker up! Chris Colon come up with an original idea. I should tell Raskin, that's a good fucking idea, to be honest with you. That's a fucking rom-com right there. Megan, get Raskin on the phone. Isn't it possible to get Raskin on the phone? No?
Yeah.
I want to run it past him, man. I want to, and if it happens, I get a taste, Chris Colon. I get a whiff, if you will.
The book could also be ordered on www.lcbookshop.com. LULU.com.
That's Lulu.com.
I understand that. I just want to spell it out.
Normally one says it, that spells it. Still, Lulu.com. What is that? Do you know what it is?
I don't know. All right. The book could also be ordered on www.lulu.com. Search for Double Jackpot Christopher Cologne. A paperback version of the book is $15 and a PDF file is only $5.
$5 is insanely inexpensive. 15 is not even that bad for a paperback version.
No.
This is a $1 million idea right here. Like a fucking movie about a dude who fucking is stuck between two chicks, both of who play his birthday and win the lottery. Come on!
I
can see that trailer. Chris Cologne is on to something. Nobody else can smell it but me.
I'll read it.
Thank you. I'm going to make that smelly joke.
I know. You're trying to get me to laugh again.
It worked once. Double Jackpot is a self-published book by Chris Cologne, man. It's the first book in his comic books, heavy metal, video games trilogy. Book 2, Odd I See, A Tale from the Road, should be coming out soon. Get all the information at Chris Cologne, like a motherfucker.
And his totally book, read this.
Double Jackpot. I'm serious. I'm going to recommend that to fucking Raskin. How is that not a movie? You know what I'm saying? This could be a sexy movie. You could do an R-rated version. There could be nudity in it, and you could sell them fucking both chicks. Maybe a little penetration. Maybe a butthole shot. No butthole, no care.
I would like to formally apologize to Christopher Cologne. Right
no,
now,
sex sells. Chris Cologne will appreciate that. He's like, thanks for throwing a few buttholes in there, man.
Don't forget to check out twostrangersonepodcast.net, your one-stop resource for everything show-related. You can find links to subscribe to us on iTunes or on Stitcher. You could also find links to buy my book, Double Jackpot, on twostrangersonepodcast.net.
Fuck you, you're cool, and fuck you, I'm out.